Well, hello. We are in our last book that we're going to be reading in the Old Testament. I hope you're enjoying the study. I hope you're seeing it move along. I apologize. I did not think through it very well, or I would have put Esther in between Ezra and Nehemiah because that's where it fits historically. Nehemiah is really the end of the story as we were reading it. Esther goes in between there. There is a Mordecai that is listed in a lot of those names coming back, but it's hard to tell based on the time whether it's this Mordecai or another one. But anyway, the story is an interesting one. It's one of those stories, a lot like Lamentations, and maybe there's another. I can't remember if there's another that doesn't have God mentioned in it. He is clearly at work in the entire book, but his name does not show up in here. So the story is a simple one. The king has decided to throw this big, huge banquet, 180 days long. And they're drinking and they're having a good time. And at some point in time, he decides he wants to show off his beautiful wife, Queen Vashti. So he sends one of his folks to go get her. And she says, I don't think so. She's having a party of her own for the women and she's too busy. Well, the king calls his advisors in. He says, what do you think I ought to do about this? Their response is kind of interesting. It's probably not politically correct, but I can imagine some guys would probably think this today. They say, if all of our wives see your wife treating you as the king that way, then they're all going to disrespect us and no one's going to do what we say. And everybody thought that was a good idea, so the king says, fine. Then the king decides that he's going to set aside Vashti as the queen. He doesn't kill her, which is good because in those days, you know, lopping off heads was a fairly common event. He just simply says she's never going to be back in his presence again. So then they go off to find a number of other beautiful women, virgins from the country and bring them in, and he's going to pick one of them and that's going to be his queen. Everybody thought that's a great idea. So they go off. There's this girl, Hadassah. We know her by the name Esther, but her Jewish name is Hadassah, and her uncle, Mordecai. Now, Mordecai is said to have been someone who came with the folks taken into captivity from Babylon. So the implication is that, and her parents are dead, implication is that her parents probably died in either being brought out, a part of the battle, part of the collateral damage in the attack on Jerusalem, whatever. Mordecai is treating Hadassah as his daughter. And so she is beautiful and she is selected as one of these girls to be taken into the king's harem. So they take her in and she's going to have a year's worth of beauty treatments. Now, you talk about a spa day. She had a year spa day, a year's worth of spa days before she even goes to see the king. She also got the made a favorable impression on the guy who is running the harem, which worked to her benefit. And when it was time for her to be to go in and see the king, she could pick anything she wanted. She could get fancy robes. She could get money. She could get gold. She could get jewelry. She could get whatever she wants. And she asked that guy, what should I do? And he says, just go in and be yourself, basically. Don't go in showing off how rich you are because you're the king's, in the king's harem. So anyway, that all goes well. And she's going to become the queen. Now, at the same time, Mordecai uncovers a plot to kill the king. And that plot is averted because he warned everybody. And so those are the two setups. Chapter 3 is the third setup before we get into the actual story. And we are introduced to a guy named Haman. And Haman is a chief advisor, top advisor to the king above all the other advisors. And he hates the Jews. Now, he particularly hates Mordecai because when he's elevated to this position, everybody bows down to him except Mordecai refuses to do that. Now, there's a lot of people's opinion on that he was actually a descendant of Agag, the king that Saul didn't kill. of the Amalekites. Does appear like he is an Amalekite descendant. No real evidence that he's of Agag's descendant or not. But anyway, whether it's long history or whether it's just the fact that Mordecai won't bow down to him right now, he hates Mordecai. And so he's getting ready to set up doing something about it. So what he wants to do, not just, he's not going to just kill Mordecai. He's going to kill all the Jews. So he convinces the king to set up an edict that says on this particular day out in the future, everybody can kill off any Jew they want to. And that's kind of where chapter 3 ends. So we've got the plot has been set. We've got a problem. The Jews are going to all die. We've got a potential person to help in Esther, but she's told not to say that she's a Jew, and we have Mordecai who has helped the king, but no one really knows that. So anyway, I hope you enjoy the reading. We'll pick up again tomorrow in Esther chapter 4. Have a great evening. God bless you.